Again, we want to thank you very much for coming tonight. And it's our desire, but not only ours, it's God's desire that if you're here tonight and you're not saved, that you'll come to know Christ as your Savior. You'll come to know the greatness of the love of God. Now, if you have a Bible, we are going to look at three subjects. We're going to look at the subject of His own sin. And you'll see this as we read the passages. His own sin, His own soul, and His own body. Salvation is personal between you and God. And these verses would bring it home to us that we are responsible for our actions. So let us turn to Deuteronomy and chapter 24 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 24 and verse 16. The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. For what shall it profit a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl? What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Then in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. Now here we have the Lord Jesus being spoke about. So 1 Peter 2 and 22, we can put down Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him, that is to God, that judges righteously. Who his own self, again speaking of Jesus, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. His own sin, his own body, his own soul. Here we have in Deuteronomy just a repetition of the law of God given by Moses. It was a reinforcement to the older generation, and it was instruction given to the younger generation. So we would see by this that God's word never changes. The world views changes constantly, but the Bible views, the biblical views, never change. They are always the same. We can count on it. God is always true to his word. So this idea here that every man must die for his own sins. There's a must there, a shall. It's the accountability for our actions. We are responsible to God for our sin. Personally accountable to God. We have to answer to God. Sometimes, as we have worked with people throughout the years, they just think that, you know, they haven't seen God, they don't know God, and therefore He doesn't exist. But God does exist. And we see the love of God as at times He will bring circumstances into the lives of those individuals that they are made to realize that surely there is a God. There is a sowing and a reaping principle. We know as a farmer that what we sow, we want it to come up and reap. We want to reap if it's wheat, if it's canola, whatever it is that we would sow there on the land, that we would eventually reap it. And God says, you understand that? We must also understand that what we sow in our life, we will reap. If we sow sin and the flesh and whatever the flesh would like to do, we are going to reap such things in our life. Each man must die for his own sin. However, the worldview would tell you this. You blame somebody else. The schools would teach the young people that if you've done something wrong, it must have been your parents. They must have brought you up wrong. They must have done something wrong. And they're taught to not be responsible for their actions. But we are responsible for our actions. We've already had the question tonight with Cain, as we've heard about Cain. And God says, oh, maybe we could let him off. Maybe he had a reason for doing it. No. That's not what God said. God said, what have you done, Cain? Cain, you are responsible for your sin. But that's not the first time. We go right back to Genesis chapter 3, to Adam and Eve. And God came into the garden. And he said unto Adam, where are you, Adam? And we know that they thought they could hide from God. But let's just stop and think for a minute. Who is God? God is all-knowing. God is all-present. So why did God say, where are you, Adam? God knew where he was. But God wanted Adam to realize that he was responsible for what he had done wrong, for disobeying God. And tonight, God would say to you, where are you? In the light of eternity, as you travel out into eternity, there's either heaven or hell. And God would ask you tonight, stop and think about it. Where are you? There are two roads that we can be on, the narrow road that leadeth to life, or the broad road that leadeth to destruction. We are born on that road. But when we come to that time in our lives, when we see that Jesus Christ died for my sin, we come to the narrow road. Where are you? Sin demands payment, and that payment is death. There's one thing that bothered me with sin, is that I knew if I died in my sin, I would be separated from God for all eternity. I knew that I was on the road to hell, and I did not want to die in my sin. We heard tonight already of the British soldier and how it seems like the actions against him, the judge, did not judge right. But the Bible says to us, does not the judge of all the earth do right? And God being the judge, in that great judgment day, there will be no mistakes. We must die for our sins. The father shall not die for the sins of his children. But we have an example of a father who wanted to, who wished he could have. And there are parents here tonight that if they have a child that is on the deathbed and they're not saved, a parent would say, as we read, I'm just going to read it to you. Here was King David. And we have his son Absalom. And Absalom, we talk about the next, his own soul. Absalom traded his soul for popularity. He wanted to be the king, and he was willing to kill his father for it. However, that did not happen. Absalom ended up being put to death by Abner. But his father, as the news came to his father, King David, we read, and the king was much moved and went up into the chambers over the gate and wept. And as he went up, he said, O my son, Absalom, my son, Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. However, a parent cannot die to save his son or his daughter from hell. King David only knew that if he could have died for his son, it would have given his son opportunity to repent and turn from his sin and turn to God. Each one must die for his own sin. Then in Mark chapter 8, in verse 36, we read that what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Every man must die for his own sin. We have accountability of our actions. His own soul, we have accountability for our life. Our goals, our ambitions, the force that drives us, the peer pressure. We have to answer to God for our soul. Here we have two of the greatest questions in life. The first one, what will it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The second one is, what are you going to give, or what are you giving in exchange for your soul? What shall it profit a man if, and there are people out there that are living on the if, hoping for the big ticket, the big win, the lottery. And God says, if you won it, what would it profit you if you gained the whole world and lost your own soul? There is a man that actually did that. His name is Alexander the Great, and he died at the age of 33. But at the age of 33, history tells us that he had conquered the whole known world at that time. So we could have sang about him, he's got the whole world in his hand. But you know, the whole world did not satisfy him. So at nighttime, he would leave his room. He would leave the castle and go down and amongst the soldiers. And he would play cards with them, and he would drink with them, and he would get drunk with them. And one night in the cold winter, Alexander the Great, coming back to the castle from playing cards and drinking, drunk out of his mind, he just passed out. And they found him in the morning, and they brought him into the castle. But he got pneumonia, and it wasn't very long, and he died. But he told his people and those that were around him, he said, when I die and when you have my funeral, I want my casket to be carried down the street. And I want my hand to be held up high with nothing in it. Because he said, I died with nothing. All that I gained, I leave behind. What about you tonight? What are you trading your soul for tonight? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, what is it that is holding you back? Is it popularity? Is it fear? Is it, you know, if we could choose, we would choose that you would come to Christ tonight. Then your friends maybe that are not saved, they would influence you that, that's only religion. You can just put that off. There's another day. But God says tonight, and God is asking you tonight, what profit is there? Even if you were to gain the whole world and lose your soul, end up in hell and eventually the lake of fire. You know, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for you and me. God loved us. And we're going to see that even though we read, each man must die for his own sin, yet we come to 1 Peter chapter 2. And what a great verse. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it said, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Here is the one who spoke the worlds into existence. Here is the one who spoke and he created what we have today. Here is the one who always was and always shall be. And yet, God came to us in the person of Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem's manger. Why? He could never have delivered us from our sins in heaven. He had to be a man. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man. He bore our sins. If and each man had to die for his own sin, he was accountable for his actions. He is. His own soul, accountable for his life and what we do in our life. But here we have Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he took on the accountability for your soul, your sin. He came. We already heard tonight of a substitute. You know what a substitute is. We understand that Walmart have to hire between 25 and 30% more people than they need for those that don't show up each morning. So when you don't show up to your job, there's somebody that fills in and they're a substitute. And they work for you for that 8 hours and then they go home that night. But here we have a substitute that doesn't go home at night. This substitute went all the way to Calvary. Easter is coming up and we will remember the sufferings of Christ. We will remember the cross on a hill, the old rugged cross on a hill far away. And there on that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed. And there, under the wrath and the judgment of God against your sin and mine, he bore that judgment that you and I should have bore in hell for all eternity. Our minds can't take it in. But in 3 hours, the Bible tells us that at noonday, there was darkness over all the land. And in those 3 hours of darkness, God laid on him an eternity of hell. That's something we don't understand, but that is faith. Believing that when Jesus died on the cross, yes, he did die for the whole world, but tonight, my friend, he died. No, the Father will not die for you, but Jesus Christ could, and he did. He died on the cross. He brought peace again, the sinner and God. And tonight, he offers you salvation tonight. His own self, Jesus Christ. His own body, God became flesh and dwelt among us. For your sin and mine. So tonight, there's one more. Your own choice. And what will your choice be? And you might say, and I don't think nobody would be foolish enough just to look up and say, no way, I do not want your salvation. But in your heart tonight, you have to choose. You will either choose that Christ is my substitute. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he died for me. Or you will choose to live in your sin. And maybe like Absalom, die in your sin. And be forever in hell and the lake of fire. Tonight, you must choose. A choice isn't always words. You can get up and you can walk out that door and you don't have to say a word. But you see, God knows our hearts. He knows the choice you have made in the silence of your heart. Be very careful. God may take you at your word. You may not make it home tonight. God is the God of love. And he wants you to come. And he wants you to come tonight. Be wise. Make a wise choice. Remember the question. You know, God doesn't put these questions out just for the fun of it. He knows our life. He knows what is holding us back. And he asks the question again tonight. What shall it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Friend, tonight, if you are not saved, what are you trading for your soul? Do you know the story about Judas, one of the 12 disciples? And he betrayed the Lord Jesus for a measly 30 pieces of silver. He traded his soul for 30 pieces of silver. And you know, it didn't satisfy. It gnawed away at his heart and at his soul. And he went back to the priest who paid him to betray the Lord Jesus so they could crucify him. And he went back to them and he said, I have done wrong. He repented, but he repented to the wrong people. A priest cannot forgive you. It's only God that can forgive you. And that 30 pieces of silver, he threw it down and he walked out. And he hung himself. He traded his soul. What about your soul tonight?